stars look down, and you'd hug yourself on a cold, cold ground. You wake the morning in a stranger's coat, but no one would you see. You ask yourself, who'd watch for me? My only friend, who could it be? It's hard to say it, I hate to say it, but it's probably me. When your belly's empty and the hunger's so real, you're too proud to beg and too dumb to steal. You search the city for your only friend, but no one will you see. Ask yourself, who'd watch for me? A solitary voice to speak out and set me free. I hate to say it, I hate to say it, but it's probably me. You're not the easiest person I ever got to know. It was hard for us both, but I'm feeling sure. Some would say, I just let you go your way, you only make me cry. But if there's one guy, just one guy, who laid down his life for you and I, I hate to say it, I hate to say it, but it's probably me.
I just had a random thought. Sprite makes the world taste better. Very random thought. It's a new thought, a new year, same time slot, same show. This is the Stand-Up Sit-Down, Saskatchewan's most popular and most listened to overnight radio broadcast on CFCR. 90.5 FM in Saskatoon, Saskatoon's community radio station. I am the creator and host of the show, Trevor Dean, which just goes to show you that miracles do happen. Ay, 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 how have you been? I hope that you got through your New Year's okay. I worked a bingo. Well, I didn't work, volunteered, and they sent me home early, so I was in bed by 11:45, and yeah, because I'm old, and it just, you know, New Year's for me isn't the same as what it used to be. Maybe that's because I'm single. Who knows? Don't forget, though, there are a number of ways that you can listen to the broadcast tonight, of course, on the radio, 90.5 FM, online at cfcr.ca, through the mobile app, available for Apple and Android products, and on Sasktel Max, channel 820. Just a couple of quick things before we get on to our guest this week. And by the way, just a teaser, this show will actually end at 1:30. It'll actually end on time because our interview is like the shortest interview in the history of the show. I'm not even joking. So I know, miracles do happen. See, told you, stay tuned for that. Okay, the weather is going to turn crappy very shortly. And when the weather turns bad, a lot of us like to, you know, think warm thoughts and want to get away somewhere warm. Well, CFCR is helping you do that. There is a contest going on right now where you have the opportunity to win a WestJet travel voucher worth $1,000, and on top of that, an opportunity to get $500 cash. All you have to do is check out CFCR on Facebook or Instagram, or go to cfcr.ca, the website, and it will give you all the details on how to enter the contest. Now, I would like to sit here and tell you about the contest, but I've kind of got a radio show to run, and my boss has scheduled me for work in the morning. So I've got a few things going on that I need to get going on with, if that makes any sense, which usually doesn't. We also have a website for the show. It's the standupsitdownshow.com. It's got all of the promos, guest bios, episodes, and all that fun stuff. If you click on the menu item about the show, it will give you a list of all the different social media links on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, email. And of course, every show we are live on social media, so we have a chance to interact with you, the listener. Facebook is at the Stand Up Sit Down, and Twitter is at the SU Sit Down. And we hope to, this year, have some very interesting guests. They'll be comedians, but they have some very unique stories to tell. And we are in the process of contacting them and seeing if we can get them on the show. I obviously don't want to jump the gun and say that we're, you know, trying to get these people on when they haven't been contacted yet, because I would just be foolish. But two people who have been contacted about coming on the show are two of the biggest headliners in North America. Of course, I'm talking about Tom Green and Tammy Pescatelli. Yes. Now, Tammy, I believe, had written a reply to one of my tweets and said that she would love to come on the show. And now her and Tom Green both like my tweets. That's all they do. They like them. So I decided I would come up with a list of reasons why they should be on the show. I said it was like top 10. I just did that for dramatic effect. It's not really top 10. It's a couple of good reasons why they should be on the show. Because number one, I'm not sure if they're coming to the city or not. So it would be an online chat. We'd use Zoom, and then I would edit it and put it on the next week's show. And I guess the bigger reason is that it's about paying it forward, because I don't know, I think that the people who are in positions of influence, like headliners, when they first started out, there were comedians that took them under their wings to, you know, help them out and all that kind of stuff. And I think that, you know, I feel like it's incumbent upon, you know, headliners to sort of pay it forward and share their knowledge, their stories with comedians and with the rest of us. Because if you remove your ego, well, I should talk in terms of me. If when I remove my ego from the interview, not that I have one, but when I remove it from the interview and I'm able to listen to it objectively, I always learn something. There's always a takeaway there. So I think they have amazing stories to tell, and they would be featured all over social media. They'd be on CFCR. Like, come on, really? This is the cat's meow, ladies and gentlemen. It really is. This is the cat's meow. Speaking of which, next week, I'm 70% certain that, yeah, how's that for optimism? 70% certain that our guest next week will be York Underwood. Now, if you want a story, this guy's got one. He's born and raised in Saskatoon, I believe, was a headliner in the city. And then, you know how some people sometimes are like, you know, Saskatchewan's a little too small. I want to branch out, spread my wings. Some of them will go to Alberta. Some of them will go to BC or Ontario or the States. For some reason, he decided, I want to go to Reykjavik, Iceland. So that's where he is. He's married, got a family, and he's starting to develop a little comedy empire for himself. I think he's teaching comedy classes. He runs a room. He headlines, and he's rather, unique, and he's got a unique story, especially about the time he embarrassed his mom on TV. I won't tell it, but it's kind of funny. Had him on, had us both on the floor laughing. So hopefully you will be able to listen to that next week. Like I said, 70% chance that he'll be on. Now, this week, first show of 2020, we are going back into the Humor at Work series for part number two. I was going to say part duh, but that doesn't sound right. Part number two of the Humor at Work series, where we take people from the working world and find out how they use humor in their profession. Now, we have with us Amy Redderberg from DeuceAsk, and I'll play the interview and then you can understand what DeuceAsk is, but I will say that the chat's very short, but towards the end of the chat, she floated an idea out there about a collaboration that her and I could do, and I don't know if she was serious about it or if she just said it because it was good radio. So I'm not sure how to take it. And when you hear what she's proposing, maybe you guys can, you know, send a tweet or send a message on Facebook, make a post on Facebook and let me know what you think. Anyhow, I've been talking way too long. There's a surprise. Without further ado, we will get into the Humor at Work series part two with Amy Redderberg of her company, DeuceAsk. This is the stand-up sit-down on CFCR 90.5 FM. I'm your host, Trevor Dean. And when we come back, well, when the interview's over, then we'll wrap up the show. I can go home, get some sleep, go to work, and keep living life. Anyhow. Oh, I guess there's one more thing I should say too, which is this, what do you call it? Not thought, what do you call it? What do you call it when something happens and like a certain number of times and you're like, hey, this is not, okay, it's a thought because I can't think at the moment. Surprise. The times when I'm not sure what I'm going to get out of the interview. Those are the times when I get more than I bargained for. Because the longer I talk to Amy, it turns out we have a lot more in common than I thought. So right now, here is the chat with Amy Redderberg from DeuceAsk on the stand-up sit-down on CFCR, Saskatoon's community radio station. In today's world that's largely driven by social media, you will find that people either go out less or have their noses buried in their phones if people are on a date night or out with friends. Thankfully, at least one Saskatoon resident is aiming to put the social aspect back into socializing. DeuceAsk was an event planning company started by Amy Redderberg to not only give people date night ideas, but to also organize activities and events to do in Saskatoon. From book clubs to microbrewery tours to their speed dating nights, more people are ditching their smartphones and placing their trust in Amy's event planning. Humor does play a role in what she does, as it can be an effective way to break the ice and let a person's guard down. Today, we are happy to have Amy on the program in our Humor at Work series for the first show of the new year, 2020. Thanks for coming to do this.
Thank you for having me, Trevor.
It's amazing what you can do when the mic's actually on instead of on mute.
Good job. Thumbs up.
Okay. So you originally didn't think, when I floated this idea by you, you originally didn't think that you'd have much to offer in the way of being to link humor to the type of work that you do.
Yeah, I guess I don't really try. You know, I think that comedians are trying to be funny.
Some of them.
Yeah. And with me, it's just, I like to laugh, I like to make people smile, I like to bring joy to their day, so if they're going to choose to spend some time with DeuceAsk in any way, I hope that they're having fun.
Okay. So for the people who may not know much about you or who you are, were you born and raised in the city?
Yeah, I'm originally from Saskatoon, so I was born here and raised here until I was 10. My family moved around a lot, so moved around after I was 10 until I was 17. What's that?
Just a bit louder.
Oh, okay. So, born in Saskatoon, moved around a bit, and I eventually moved to Calgary, Alberta, for school in 2005, and did my schooling there for broadcasting and media, and worked in broadcasting media for 10 years, and then went back to school, University of Calgary, to get my communications degree, graduated in 2015, and then Saskatchewan called me back.
So what did you do in relation to the media in Calgary? Did you work for radio or TV?
Yeah, I was in radio actually for 10 years, working in creative writing, creative directing, promotions, all sorts of roles associated with that.
Okay, because I did get a little excited for a moment because I thought if I can never do the show, I've got a competent guest host with broadcasting experience,
yes.
But
yeah.
Not quite.
Wasn't on air, but did do commercial voice work, and that type of thing.
So you did like different voices in that?
Yeah.
Oh, good. So we can do, you would be comfortable with doing a promo then?
For sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's awesome. And then what did you do when you came back to Saskatoon?
So in 2016, we moved back to Saskatoon, and yeah, we came back, and I was running my freelance copywriting business. So copywriting is just helping businesses tell their story in lots of different ways.
Did you find that there's a market for that even in today's economy?
Yeah, I mean,
world?
Freelance work is really tough. It's been a while. I still take on freelance writing, but it's a roller coaster.
It's kind of like stand-up in a sense. It's a never-ending hustle.
Yeah.
Okay, so what gave you the idea to start up DoSask?
So DoSask was basically I came here and I had seen so much change in Saskatoon. It was so different than how I left it 8 years before the last time that I was in Saskatoon. I actually worked for a radio station here in Saskatoon, and so I was here for about 2 years right at the start of my career, and then I moved pretty quickly after that. But since then, even there was a lot of change. So lots of development in the community, new businesses, lots of new people, newcomers coming here. Just it felt like a different city to me. It was like a fresh start. DoSask kind of started because I was overwhelmed with that.
Overwhelmed with
just the amount of change, and I was trying to get a handle on it, and I knew that I wasn't probably the only one feeling that way. I was probably pretty common, you know. A lot of people, they get used to their routines. You know, I go, this is my favorite restaurant, I go here to get my hair done, and then you don't really change or try anything new. So
sounds like a lot of comics in the city.
What's that?
Sounds like a lot of comics in the city.
Yeah, you get into the routine and do what you like to do, and you just keep doing that. But I was kind of forced to, you know, from moving from Calgary to Saskatoon, it forced me to look at the city in a different way. And yeah, that's kind of how DoSask started. And it was an outlet just to bring myself some creativity and just looking at the community in a different way.
So what gave you the idea to do all these different social events? Was it because you came back here and realized you didn't know anybody and it would be a good way to meet new people, or?
Yeah, I think that's what it started it. I had seen a couple of different media companies in larger centers doing this type of thing. So they would do blogs, and then they would also do events as well. So I had seen the examples in different cities and thought, what if we did that in Saskatoon? So treated Saskatoon like a large major metropolis. And that's kind of what started it. And the events, it was just an extension of that. Just getting people to think about Saskatoon in a different way and meet new people.
So So in event planning is especially in today's world with just the heightened level of, you know, I don't know what to call it, but it seems like people are more polarized today than they were like in previous years. And it seems like people sometimes want to find something to take offense to so it can sort of, you know, embolden their cause and give them a reason to stand on the soapbox, so to speak. Given that, did you have any, I mean, coming back to what things are now, did you have any sort of reservations about, you know, doing it or how to do it or?
That's a tough question because, yeah, it's hard to really remove that polarity and conflict and constant arguing and bickering when you're online. But in person, I feel like people are more behaved. And really, like, being in person, there's people watching you. Like, you're not behind your keyboard. You're not a keyboard warrior. You're just showing up as you are, and you might have some differing opinions. We've had differing opinions at different events, and there's been conflicts that way, but nothing to the point of, you know, anything that would be outrageous. But yeah, like, there's this cancel culture in social media where someone says something a little bit off and all of a sudden they're just deleted. You can't be friends with them anymore because they said this one thing. But I really, like, encourage with all my events just discussion, just being open-minded and thinking about things a little bit differently. And if someone says something that you don't necessarily agree with, you don't have to just nod your head and go, oh, yeah, I agree. You can disagree, but you can disagree respectfully.
Can you do you think people in your occupation, like planning social events and that kind of thing, can they do what they do in today's world without the humor element present?
I think a lot of people plan events without humor and or fun.
And it shows.
And, yeah. I mean, it's hard to plan in humor. Like, you can say, oh, we're going to break the ice and hopefully it gets you a little bit lighter and all that stuff, but some people might not enjoy it. So it's hit and miss. But yeah, it really does show when event planners don't take the time to plan in some lighthearted conversation or anything that's just there to make you feel a little bit less nervous. Especially at networking, when you're meeting new people or speed dating or speed friending, things where you're connecting with those people, you kind of need that levity, right? You need the lightness. You don't want to be weighed down by expectations.
Right. So when you, during the events, I mean, obviously you probably sort of watch what's going on with other people. When you introduce humor into an event as a way to, you know, break the ice, what kind of an effect do you see that it has on the people?
Lots of different effects. I try and crack jokes and just be myself at events, and just getting people to laugh is just one way to make them feel like they belong. Laughing together is something that I love to do, especially at book club. There's a lot of laughs at book club. But yeah, I feel like it just makes connecting so much easier.
Okay, so in that sense, were you always the funny one? Were you always like the funny kid growing up?
I have no idea. I guess maybe there's an expectation when you're a kid to have some kind of thing. I wasn't the class clown.
Okay. Well, I didn't expect you to be a class clown, but like, were you a comedy fan growing up, did humor sort of shape your mold your life? Were you able to use the humor element in your broadcasting work?
Yeah, I think that's why I chose broadcasting and advertising and creative writing, is because it was a part of who I was when I was growing up. I was really a fan of Mad TV and Saturday Night Live, and I would stay up late and watch those with my kid brother, and we were raised by the TV. So it had an effect on me. I loved laughing, and I loved watching funny comedy movies. I loved Jim Carrey, Michael Myers. Is it Mike Myers? It's not Michael Myers, it's Mike Myers.
Yeah. So do you find that you ever need to use humor to maybe de-escalate a situation if things get a little, you know, tense or something at one of the events? Or
yeah, sometimes. I mean,
you got to sort of put yourself in the fire and be the butt of the joke sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, I would say so. Just being willing to stand up and put yourself out there is tough enough, I guess. Well, you can relate to that, I bet.
Yeah, I suppose. I don't know, I haven't done it in a while, so I don't know. I don't even know why I still do it, and it's been 8 years, so.
You should have a reason.
I should have a reason.
Yeah.
I should. But,
it's tough, I would say. I don't know about you, but being an entrepreneur, being a business owner, is hard to keep on putting yourself out there over and over and over and over again. I think probably being a comedian is probably similar.
I don't know. There are some people that have their egos are sizable enough that they don't really let a bad set or whatever affect them. They can be vulgar or, you know, a bit offside in terms of, you know, their opinions and views sort of going against the norm. And if people don't like it, it's like, well, you know, it's not the end of the world. It sort of goes in one ear and out the other. So everybody's differently. Some people that it doesn't affect, you can tell because they do the same stuff over and over again. So, I don't know.
Oh, like the same material?
Pretty much.
Oh, okay. They've got their laugh track ready to go?
Well, they've probably got I think they've got a laugh track in their head. I mean, like, for me, I know the type of laughs that I get, like how they sound, you know, and whatnot. And if I get those kind of laughs, then regardless of how the rest of the set goes or whatever, as long as I get those kind of laughs, you know, I'm usually okay with it. I'm not the type of person that'll bring the house down. At least not yet, obviously. But yeah, it's just kind of one of those things, I guess. So the stuff that event planners do to break the ice for their events, where do you come up with that stuff? Do you do research, or do you just kind of think, hey, this is a little bit different and non-offensive, it might work?
Definitely do a lot of research and trial and error. I've tried icebreakers that have been wonderful and everyone was laughing and enjoying their time, and then I've tried the same one and with a different group and it just fell flat. So really just knowing that sometimes they work and sometimes they just don't.
So what you're saying is there's, in terms of your research, there's a bit of psychology that goes into it.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I'm always looking up new icebreakers and trying to find ways for people to connect in that way. And I I actually run an icebreaker game, Minute to Win It, with my family at Christmas. And my family's got a whole bunch of different characters in it, and it just gets everyone together doing something fun.
What's... Okay, I've... Obviously, my family's not that much fun, so I have to ask, what's Minute to Win It?
Minute to Win It is like a game show. It was, I'm not sure if it's still running, but there's all these silly games.
Might have heard of it.
You might have heard of it?
Yeah, okay. Maybe.
Yeah, it's like silly games where you have to do these ridiculous games like stacking nuts, you know, from Nuts and Bolts. You're stacking them with like a chopstick without using both hands. So you're just like, you have it all on the one chopstick and you have all the bolts there. Or is it nuts? Sorry.
It's a pair of chopsticks, nuts. Right?
It's just one chopstick, and you're taking these nuts and you're trying to stack them to a certain height.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah.
One silly game that you could do.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You have to do it in under a minute.
And the one that puts the most, that would sound bad. The one that can put the most nuts on the chopstick using one hand is the winner.
You start out with the nuts on the chopstick.
Uh-huh.
You've got like 8 nuts on there.
Uh-huh.
And then you're stacking them on the table so they're 8 nuts high and you're not knocking it down. So you're basically stacking them like a
Alrighty. Okay.
That's an example of one of the games.
That almost sounds impossible, especially if you've been drinking at Christmas.
Yeah, sometimes it's really hard for my family members. But.
So in other words, they enjoy the effort.
They really love it. It's something that we might not disagree on politics or religion, but we can all agree that Minute to Win It is a ridiculously fun time.
And look on the bright side. You do it for Christmas, you've already got prizes.
Exactly. Waiting under the tree.
Yeah, oh, so you do it before the presents are open.
Usually, yeah. It can go on for a few hours.
Wow.
There's more than one Nutcracker game. There's a whole list of other games that we do.
Wow, it sounds like your family is super fun. I might have to... That's crazy. I'd like to say that my family should do something like that, but that's just...
You can do it.
With my family, I don't think so.
Just start it.
Look, I've been doing stand-up 8 years. I've done jokes about my family 8 years. They've never asked about my comedy. They've never seen anything that I've done. They don't even know I do jokes about them. And they would, because I'm almost certain that friends of theirs would tell them, oh, hey, your son's doing jokes about you. And then I never hear the end of it. I'm sure of it, but they've never heard anything. So I seriously doubt it. My parents are, I mean, you know, God love them. They picked me out of the book from the foster home, but they're the most predictable folk that they're the most predictable folk that I know. So
spice things up, Minute to Win It.
You know what, maybe I'll do that for the show, maybe Minute to Win It. But yeah, I don't see that working with my family unless I get like a new mom and dad, which I don't want. I'm not putting that out there.
Give it a shot.
Yeah,
you can do it.
Yeah, you make things sound super, super easy. So,
if
I guess
my family can do it, so can yours.
Yeah, you should be a motivational speaker. That's awesome. And I guess there's one more thing that you mentioned in our chat. You talked about I guess what you do is sort of similar to stand-up, because event planners, correct me if I'm wrong, but event planners don't necessarily vet the people that are coming to the events. You don't know who they are or what they are. You're just hoping with blind faith, I guess, that the icebreaker games and the humor that you interject is actually going to work with the majority of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's correct. I don't know who's going to show up. It's open to anyone to come within a certain age group. If you're talking about speed dating, it's limited to a certain age bracket. Speed friending is open to all ages, over 19.
Right.
Book club, we've got all ages. All ages. There's a whole spectrum of people there.
So would you use would you use humor for like the like to like break the ice with the book club, like to play games, or is it like, here's a funny book, let's talk about it to warm ourselves up?
I don't know, book club is a bit different in how that's programmed, because we've all read the book and we have some prior knowledge of the book, so in a way that book is like the icebreaker in itself, because it gets people talking and discussing around the book. So what we do at book club is just basically introduce ourselves, tell people how we got into reading, maybe why we want to read more at book club, and then we go into the discussion on the book. So really the book is the total icebreaker. So yeah, book club is essentially an hour or so of just straight icebreaker, talking about that particular book.
Wow, that's interesting. And I guess the only other thing to cover is you had a list of New Year's resolutions from back in 2014, and of the resolutions, there's only one that hasn't been checked off, if I understand you correctly.
Yes, my 2014 resolution list was...
Well, first of all, were you still in Calgary in 2014?
I was in Calgary until 2016. So in 2014, that was when I was in Calgary. I was writing about things that I wanted to do that year. And I was trying to make an interesting list of resolutions, so not just the typical, like, crap that everyone picks for their resolution. But I wanted to write a five-minute stand-up or sketch comedy routine. And I was wondering if you could help me with that. Your next episode.
What do you mean my next episode?
Next episode, you're going to break down how to write a five-minute stand-up routine.
Oh, on my show.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because people are totally wanting to hear that. I don't know what to say. It got me speechless. It's like a girl asking me out. I don't know what to do. Well, it's not as difficult as it seems. There's a lot more open mics in the city now, and I think it's on Wednesday nights at Amigos. They have something called Women Crush Wednesdays, where it's the majority of the audience is female, and it's women only that get up on stage and do material or sketch comedy or stand up, and it's more of a supportive environment, and apparently it's going really well. And I actually know one of the ladies that runs it. I think she's involved in a improv group in the city. So, but yeah, they're always looking for, for new people and stuff. And it's not as hard as it seems. So what would make you want to get into, what made you want to get into stand up and try and write a 5-minute set?
I like a challenge. I don't know. I do lots of script writing for media.
Right.
So essentially, it's just writing 5 minutes of straight laughs instead of just having them kind of sporadically put in there. When I can really just do a funny script, that's what I really love. Not every script is going to be funny. So this one was just kind of a challenge to myself to basically say, try it and see if you like it and then see what happens. I don't know. Do you recommend improv first then? Try improv?
I don't really know much about improv, so I can't really say one way or another. I actually found a guy in L.A. that runs a comedy school that wrote a book. It's about about 200 pages. And he basically talks about how to write, script writing and stand-up are sort of the same because you have to understand, you have to know a little bit about audience psychology. You have to understand the audience. And it's all about, I shouldn't say it's all about, but part of it is about, you know, being able to tell a good story and to tell a story that is going to draw the audience in and keep them there. Because like a good ad, like an effective ad with stand-up at the beginning of your set, if you've got the audience hooked, you can take them any direction that you want to go and they will willingly follow you because it's taking advantage of, you know, audience psychology. It's like in a room full of people, if one person laughs, you know, then the person beside them is going to laugh, and it's just easier to control. Control is maybe not a good word, but it's easier to sort of manipulate the audience when there's a bunch of them as opposed to just one or two people. So I don't know it's not that difficult. You just gotta, you know, write and edit and just, you know, put the pieces together and figure it out. I find now, as long as you make an effort, people are generally supportive. Because even if you're sort of dying on stage, they'd be like, "Aw, they're trying. That's so cute." You know, you'll at least get smiles on their faces. You might not get laughs, but you'll get smiles. So at least they'll be with you. You're just not necessarily doing your job to be funny. So what kind of stuff would you write about?
I think I would just write about life. Like, I think life is pretty funny. My experience is probably the perspective that I have on life from my point of view. I don't know. I really just, like, I have this idea. This is my goal. But I don't really know the pieces to get to that goal at 5 minutes.
Right. So what were the other resolutions on your list that you've all crossed off?
Take a solo trip without a set plan.
Oh, you rebel. Jeez.
I always plan everything, every minute, every day. It's kind of over the top sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was a challenge. Journal at least once a week. I did that, and that was pretty helpful. Grow hair long enough to donate to cancer. Cut and donate, beginning of 2015. And I did that. My hair used to be really long.
Okay.
Yeah, super long.
Okay.
Dispose of things as soon as they need to be disposed of.
So you're a hoarder, in other words.
Sometimes I like keeping receipts.
Because you think the government will come after you and audit you?
I don't know. Well, I need them for that. But, like, other things, like grocery receipts, nobody needs to hold on to that. But, yeah, I need to get better at that still. Keep my room clean.
That's an ongoing one for me.
And clean it once a week. That was on there. Try one new recipe weekly.
Have you been able to do that?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. My husband's sitting here and he's nodding, so yeah, I would say so. I already said that one. Work out 3 times a week, that's good. Continue to do that. And yeah, that's it. Read at least 5 books for fun. So I started doing that with book club, and now it's way past 5.
Cool.
Yeah.
So what are your plans for comedy? Do you think you'll just do it once and kind of that's it to cross off your list, or do you think you might want to get into it a little bit more?
That's a good question. Like, if I do this, like, put in the time and do that 5 minutes, I think it depends on the response and my own personal experience too. Like, it maybe my first time is a flop, but I feel like, ooh, I would like to do that again, and I, even though, you know, I wasn't the greatest, maybe I'll try again. And I think that's how I kind of tackle problems and challenges. Maybe the first time isn't always the best, but keep trying.
Well, there's a more supportive scene now, so even if you eat it the first time, I mean, there's always somebody that's going to, you know, that'll come up to you and say, you know what, you're really funny, or I like that joke, or you might want to think about wording it this way. So you'll never, I mean, unless you're completely over the top, like completely racist, homophobic, sexist, all that kind of stuff, Nazi, no, just kidding. But if you're way completely over the top, then that's, I think, the only time that you never get anybody on your side. But as long as you're making an effort and you're sort of connecting with the audience, even if all the jokes don't hit, then they just need like a little rework. And I mean, you'll get the support if you put in the effort, because the people that get on stage know how tough it is to do. And it's a little bit different than, yeah, it's a little bit different than copywriting, because you get, with an audience, you get that instant feedback, and you don't have that on radio. But then, when you get that instant feedback, and it doesn't work, then the mind can start sort of playing tricks on you, and really screw you up, unless you know how to, and unless you've failed enough that you know how to handle it, like me. Then, you know, it makes it easier. But for somebody that starts out, it could be a little intimidating.
Yeah, for sure. Well, so, I think I would probably, you know, I've done improv before. I've done an improv workshop. I've tried that.
Ooh.
I don't think I was that good at it. It was just like a first time kind of thing. And I went with my friend who was in drama. She was taking a Bachelor of Fine Arts in drama. So she did pretty well, because she was used to being on the stage and doing all that kind of stuff. And then I was like, you know what, I need to practice this. But yeah, I mean, try, if you fail, try again, right?
So you've already been on stage, so you already have been like a performer and get feedback from the audience and stuff, so you already kind of have a sense what you're in for.
Yeah, and I feel like every event I'm in front of an audience, and I'm trying to get some kind of reaction from them. Maybe it's not a laugh, but maybe it's just engagement of some kind. So I like being in front of people, I guess. And I also teach. I'm an instructor as well, so I'm used to being
an instructor for what?
Front. Communications.
Ooh, where at?
Communications. Sass Poly.
Ooh, so you probably know Derek E.
Don't know Derek E.
Okay, how about oh, what's that short Jewish guy's name? Lyle K.
Probably not.
Because they're both comics and they both work at Sass Poly.
For in as instructors?
No. Oh. Lyle is some sort of behavioral psychologist. Like, he's really smart. And Derek is a... well, he's a psychologist, and I think he works with like the kids, but yeah, Derek E and Lyle K, they're two good resources at it's Ask Polly. If you can track them down, they're good guys to talk to, and they'll be able to, you know, give you some ideas and stuff. And yeah, see, comedians are like weeds. We grow where you least expect it, and there's a lot of us, so
gotcha. Yeah. I'll run into them every day.
There you go. So what are your resolutions for 2020? What plans do you have for the year?
Ooh, good question. 2020, I don't know. Like, I really would like to do lots of different things, and me and my husband are kind of working on ideas for that, but I don't have anything really written down yet. I need some suggestions. I need a suggestion box.
Well, if people give you suggestions, then they don't necessarily come from you. They're not authentic.
That's true. Okay. I think I'm trying to like really get my whole life planned out, and I think, like I said, I like planning things to the minute. I really would like to have everything in place. So right now, I'm scheduling everything and doing strategy and that kind of thing. Blocking out my calendar for myself, so like taking care of myself and my health, that's number one. So yep. I've got a list of like, so on Monday I'm doing this, Tuesday I'm doing this, and I've got a routine,
right?
That is, it's kind of given me some freedom, because then I'm not going, okay, what am I doing today to take care of myself?
Yeah.
So that's kind of helping me, and like, mm-hmm. really sticking with that, mm-hmm. I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I guess the last question, probably the most difficult one. Well, it's not the most difficult one, but might be slightly uncomfortable for you to answer. Have you ever listened to the show?
I've listened to your Scott.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. You did. I was expecting you to say no, because you have, because you know you're busy, because you're married, career woman, all that stuff. But
I did listen to it, and I was trying to get some ideas for what you were going to ask me, but I wasn't quite sure. So yeah, I did listen to that show.
What'd you think of that one?
Yeah, I thought it was entertaining, and you got him from Australia, so somehow you got him on the phone or Skype or
Zoom.
Zoom.
It's better than Skype.
Okay. Yeah.
No, he's from here, and he met his wife, because his wife's an Aussie. She brought her here. They had two kids. She was pregnant with the third, and they're like, well, go to Australia. So he moved to Australia so she could be closer to her family, and his coaching business has just sort of exploded from there. So
yeah, cool. I did listen to it, and I thought he was interesting, and he had kind of a similar upbringing. Grew up in rural Saskatchewan, and was it a single parent family?
No, I think he had two parents, but he's a bit of a goofball.
Was he a class clown?
I
can't remember.
I don't know. I don't think he was a class clown. He just seems like a goofball now.
Yeah.
Maybe because he's got kids and whatnot, but he just seems like a goofball.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, it's okay, but he just seems a little too chipper for, you know, my liking. I'm like, you know, he'll be like, hey, how's it going, buddy? And I'll be like, okay, what did you and your wife do today? Like, I mean,
smile.
Well, it's probably what he does. He probably does a lot of that because he's got a good-looking wife. He's got three kids. He lives in Sydney, Australia. Like, seriously, how bad can life be? You get to take your kids to the Australia Zoo and see, like, the Steve Irwin part of the zoo and, like, go to the ocean. What's bad about that?
Doesn't sound like much. I would love to visit Australia. But he was talking about how he brings Canadian Christmas dinner to Australia. They don't have that there, like turkey and stuff like that. Do you remember that?
They've got, I think they got turducken or something.
Yeah.
I think they do. No, wait a minute. He said that he does... He said that he's got a Christmas tradition with his family where he brings a turkey into the house and that, but I could have sworn that they do like turducken in Australia. I could be wrong. I don't know.
I think it's a lot different than Canada, and I think that's why they do, it sounded like why he does a Canadian one, because the Australian Christmas cuisine is a lot different.
Yeah, I mean, they have no snow. They don't appreciate it. They have no Christmas lights. Well, I don't know if they have Christmas lights or not, but they have no snow.
They don't need to stay warm with food.
Yeah. Yeah, because they stay warm from the heat.
Exactly.
That's crazy. So when can we expect your comedic debut?
Ooh, I don't know.
Not to put pressure on you, but...
Yeah, I'm going to say mid-2020.
Yeah, it gives you...
a lot going on in the first few months.
Yeah, it gives you a few months to figure things out.
Yeah. Get it all kind of drafted up, and then maybe you can invite me to one of those open mic shows, and then I'll get up there and I'll try my 5 minutes.
Well, they're always everywhere. I mean, aside from Lady Bits, the most popular one is on Thursday nights at the Crazy Cactus.
Really?
Upstairs on the second floor, because they just renovated, and it supposedly looks great. But it's called The Comedy Lab. You can find them on Facebook, and there's also a... Saskatoon comedy group on Facebook that's a private group. I think there's about over 200 people in that group, and that's where they, you know, bounce ideas off each other and talk about, you know, shows, upcoming events, and that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
Well, Dustin is a friend of mine on Facebook. He runs the Comedy Lab. I didn't realize that was the most popular open mic in the city.
Oh, yeah. So how do you know Dustin?
We met when I was working at Sports on Tap a long time ago. That's a bar up near the Western Development Museum.
Yeah.
Yeah, I worked there as a server.
You worked in a bar? Holy.
Look
at you, social butterfly.
I've worked in a bar many a time. And he was a bartender and I was a server.
Oh, that's right. Well, him and his twin brother used to bartend at Lydia's while it was still up.
Okay. Yeah, they've been doing it quite a while, and from when I met him, that was probably about 10 years ago.
Yeah, and actually Dustin and his girlfriend run the comedy lab, and for the newcomers, they get their choice of where they want to go on the list, so they can go first or they can go last. So yeah, if you reach out to Dustin and whatever, he'll make sure you're looked after.
Sweet. Well, I know who to contact. He's on my friends list.
There you go.
There we go.
Now you know who to call, and it's not Ghostbusters.
The resolution is back for 2020.
All right. And we've chatted for about 42 minutes. See, I told you were interesting.
Whatever you say, Trevor.
Either that or I just have a way of drawing out questions by talking a lot. But anyways, I guess lastly, if people want to find out more about DoSask, about what you do, where can they find it? How can they get a hold of you?
The best way to learn about DoSask is going to DoSask.com. You've got all the links to social media. You can sign up for our newsletter, which tells you all the events in Saskatoon happening every month. So if you're curious about what's going on in the city, sign up to that. And yeah, DoSask.com. There's a newsletter, and there's also a Facebook. We have Instagram.
Yep.
That's pretty much it.
And you've just got the three events that you do, the book club, book club, speed dating, speed friending, and the microbrewery tour, right?
Those are the four that I've been doing, yeah.
Okay. Any new ones coming out in 2020?
We'll see about that. I'm really interested in putting new ideas together. So, yeah, hopefully 2020 there'll be some new ones.
Maybe you could do like a comedy night, like have people, or an element of comedy where for an icebreaker or something where they have to tell, you know, a joke or get everybody to say a little bit about themselves maybe and like create a joke. I don't know.
What about a dating game show? People love that. It's so entertaining. Hilarious too. You just pick three bachelors or bachelorettes and have one bachelor or bachelorette.
Well, they did that on another radio station here in the city, but
the dating game?
Yeah.
Okay.
Something like that.
But this one would be live. Did they do it live?
I think so.
Think so? Were you the bachelor?
Do I look like I attract that kind of attention? No.
I don't know.
No.
You gotta put yourself in this situation, man.
I put myself in situations and they usually comes up I shouldn't say empty. Maybe there's 1/8 of gas in the tank. Like, you know what I mean? It's about how it goes.
Well, maybe you could be the bachelor on my dating game.
Yeah, because that would just work out so well.
We'll see.
I've done speed dating twice. That's one more question I should ask. Do you find, because this is what I found, do you find that in, because I mean, you obviously, you're not there to listen to each individual conversation, but you can sort of observe things from a glance. Do you find that when people are sitting down for their speed dates or friend dates or whatever, that they are, like, they're putting their best foot forward, obviously, but do you think that they're being their true selves? You know what I mean? Like, how hard do you think it is to be in that situation and try and be yourself and be funny and not think in the back of your head, oh, gee, like, if I'm totally relaxed and whatnot, they're going to find out I'm kind of weird and they're not going to want to talk to me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. I think people approach it the way that they want to approach it. And you can either be yourself or you can be kind of a caricature of yourself.
No, I understand. But but you've done these events enough and you've had enough experience in your industry as an event planner that I would think you kind of get a general, like you could maybe make a generalization sort of. Do you think it's tough for people to... Or I guess it depends on the personality, because if they're stepping outside of their comfort zone, they're not going to want to
show their hand too much, right? Show up a bit guarded because, you know, it is an event where you're meeting new people and you don't know their backgrounds. And we do have that rule where we don't talk about our profession and we don't talk about where we live. So there's certain things that are just off the table.
Right.
But other than that, if you want to talk about anything you want to talk about, you can do that. And, you know, if you're so caught up in the result or the expectation, you might not have as much fun as just letting go and just going with the flow.
That sort of sounds like comedy in a way. I think once you do stand up, it will probably help you in your like business acumen down the road. I don't know how, but I'm sure that it will. You're a smart girl. You'll figure it out. All right, so any words of wisdom for the listeners on the first show of 2020 before we wrap things up? 47 minutes later, you chatterbox.
Words of wisdom, I think just be yourself, have fun, keep an open mind, and be respectful. 2020, Happy New Year.
Yes, Happy New Year. All right, see, this wasn't so bad, was it?
No, getting back in the radio station groove, yeah,
now I've got somebody I can bounce promo ideas off of, and who knows, maybe one day be a co-host.
Oh, that sounds like a big commitment.
Not really. You just got to pretend you're interested for a while.
Okay.
Comedians are pretty good at doing that when they come on, so.
Am I the Robin to your Howard?
No, because if you put it that way, you're giving me way too much credit.
Okay.
Because that would mean that Howard Stern, I mean, it's Howard Stern and I'm just Trevor Dean. There's like such a difference. It's, yeah, I mean, he's somebody I look up to, but no, I wouldn't say Robin to Howard, because it's not that it's like a slight or whatever, but I mean, you gotta be who you gotta be, right? So
yeah, be yourself.
Yeah.
Okay.
Amy and Trev, I like that.
Oh, coming soon in 2020.
All right. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Well, there you go. Sometimes you take three steps forward. Sometimes you take one or two back, but you keep moving forward. The audio didn't sound right for some reason. Not sure why, but it's all a part of the process. It's all a part of the journey, and we will get that figured out. I'm not sure what happened, but we'll have to figure it out one day. But my thanks again to Amy Rutterberg of Do Sask, and that episode will be up on the website hopefully, let's see, we'll say Friday night, because I need my sleep, definitely. So Friday night we will have the episode up on the website and ready to rock and roll. Again, my thanks to Amy Rutterberg coming to a comedy stage near you very soon. As she mentioned, she has on her New Year's resolution list from 2014. The only one she hasn't crossed off is that she wanted to do a 5-minute stand-up set, and she's got some improv experience. So that is something that she will be doing, she said, probably middle of the year. So we look forward to that. And then we can have her on the program as a comedian. And maybe then the mic will work. Oh, goodness. But we are in the new year. We've started and we're going to keep on rolling and do our best to keep growing and exceeding people's expectations. Oh, speaking of exceeding expectations, on your calendar, mark down, what date is it now? Mark down Thursday, January 16th on your calendar, because that is the day that we will more than likely have the debut of the new intro for the show. And trust me, it's one that you will not want to miss. because it's I'm not going to lie, it's over the top. I'm going pretty big and pretty bold on this one, but sometimes that's what just has to be done. All right. The Commodore is going to take us home on another Thursday night with a stand-up sit-down on CFCR Saskatoon's community radio station. My name is Trevor Dean. Thank you very much for listening once again. Next week, the one and only York Underwood will be with us. Until then, take care of yourselves, be good to each other, and good night.
His heart in every line. Marvin, sang of the joy and pain. He opened up our minds, and I still can hear him say, I